Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know, even though you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Okay, today's podcast is titled Cherry Go. I hope I'm pronouncing that last name correctly. Go, G-O-U. He's Taiwanese. Cherry Go and the Foxconn Blueprint. Cherry Go and the Foxconn Blueprint, 619-768-2945. Okay. Now, before I go into Cherry Go and what the Foxconn Blueprint is, I'm going to play an audio. You've heard it a gazillion times, but it ties into what we're going to talk about today. So let's do it with Solar Cabin.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin,
Terry, go. And we're going to use the part of the solar cabin, we're going to infuse that in and talk with it. I have my mic muted. Terry, go. Hopefully I'm pronouncing that correctly. G-O-U. If I'm not pronouncing that correctly, just give us a call. 619-768-2945. But Terry, go. And the Foxconn blueprint. Let's start off with who Terry Goh is. Okay, Terry Goh. Ooh, you know what? It can also be spelled G-U-O. They got it spelled two ways here, G-O-U or G-U-O. Okay, anyway, Terry Goh is a Taiwanese businessman who is founder of Foxconn, and he serves as chairman and general manager. Foxconn is the world's largest contract manufacturer of electronics with factories in several countries, mostly in mainland China, where it employs 1.2 million people and is the largest private employer and exporter. On August 17, 2019, Goh declared that he had been instructed by the sea goddess Mazu in a dream to run as a candidate in the 2020 presidential election for the Republic of China. Okay, well, now let's go to a little bit of history here. This is interesting. Early life. Goh was born in the Banquo, Taipei County, which is in Taiwan. His parents lived in mainland China before the Chinese Civil War and fled to Taiwan in 1949. As a child, as the first child of his family, Goh received an education from elementary school to post college. After graduation, he continued to work in a rubber factory, working at a grinding wheel and medicine plant until age 24. Goh has two younger brothers, okay, both who became successful business people as well. Now, okay, so here's a former factory worker who's now a multi-billionaire. Okay, Terry Goh founded Hun Hai in Taiwan in 1974. With 7,500 in startup money, and he hired 10 elderly workers and they were making plastic parts for television sets in a rented shed in a suburb of Taipei. Here's a guy, 10 workers now, 10 elderly workers. He had working in a shed. And they were, now here's the key thing. They were making, that's the operative word here, making. Find something, find some type of widget, and make it and sell it. That's what this guy did. Anyway, that grew into Foxconn. And his net worth is like $6.3 billion as of right now. Let's go to Foxconn. Foxconn, trading as Foxconn Technology Group, better known as Foxconn, is a Taiwanese multinational electronics contract manufacturing company with its headquarters in New Taipei. Today, it's the world's largest provider of electronics manufacturing services and the fourth largest information technology company by revenue. The company is the largest private employer in Taiwan and one of the largest employers worldwide. Its founder and chairman is Terry Goh, who started off in a rented shed with 10 elderly employees. Now there's a lot here on Foxconn. Let's see. In China, Foxconn has 12 factories in 9 Chinese cities, more than any other country. I'm just getting some highlights here. One of the locations there covers 1.6 square miles. It has a park that includes 15 factories, worker dormitories. And that's part of the blueprint. A lot of their, and remember, they employ 1.2 million people. A lot of their employees, not all of them, but many, don't even have to worry about a place to stay. They can stay in their dormitories. All right. They have 4 swimming pools at a particular location. They have their own fire brigade. They have their own television network, Foxconn TV. They have a grocery store, a bank. They have restaurants. This is all for the employees. A bookstore, and they have their own hospital. While some workers live in surrounding towns and villages, others live and work inside the complex. A quarter of the employees live in dormitories. Many of them work up to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Now, that's just in China. And they're in Brazil, Europe, India, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, South Korea. They're also here in the United States. Some of their customers are Acer Computers, which is out of Taiwan, Amazon, Apple, which is a private label, BlackBerry, Cisco, Dell, Google, Hewlett-Packard, InFocus, Intel, Microsoft Corporation, Motorola Mobility, Nintendo, Sony, Toshiba, Vizio. Those are some of their companies that they have contracts with. So what I find fascinating about Foxconn is, I mean, if you research how they grew and what they have, you can take that same basic blueprint and going to a particular, now it's got to be in the right geographical area, an area where the local government will allow you to prosper and not attempt to overregulate you. That's how Foxconn was able to get, well, that's part of the success. And there are other companies in the United States, Gary, Indiana, if you read up the history of Gary, Indiana, I believe the United States Steel Corporation bought a number of acres of land in Gary. And they actually, let me get it straight. I don't want to mislead anybody. I'll read it verbatim. Gary, Indiana. And we're modeling some of this stuff already. You know, we've found places geographically where we can affordably be there, and the powers that be want us there, and they're not regulating us out of the kazoo. Gary, Indiana. Gary is a city in Lake County, Indiana. 25 miles away from downtown Chicago, Illinois. Let's go to the history of Gary, Indiana, because that. All right, Gary, Indiana was founded in 1906 by the United States Steel Corporation as a home for its new plant, Gary Works. The city was named after a lawyer. Well, anyway. You can find that online, too. So the United States Steel Corporation essentially founded a town because they needed a place where, why didn't they go to Chicago? Too much regulation at the time. And they had the money, put too much regulation. So they found a place 25 miles away. That same strategy can be used by anybody within the sound of my voice. You don't have to have billions of dollars or thousands of dollars. Find a place where you can operate that's sustainable for your pocketbook or you and your partners. Now, in order to do something, you're going to have to partner up with a few people. Because let's take a shoot. Okay, let's say you go to, Mofford, Texas. Let's go to Brewster County, Texas. Not a whole lot there in Brewster County, Texas. Matter of fact, let's see, Brewster. You know what? I'm going to go Black Township. There was a Black Township in the state of Alaska. In Alaska. Let me get that up for you. I'm going to tell you how to run this. Dempsey, Alaska. Dempsey, Alaska, it no longer exists, but what's this dude's name? What's his first name? Melvin Dempsey. Melvin Dempsey went out west during the gold rush and he founded the town, and they called it Dempsey, Alaska. So you go to some place in Alaska. Now, let's find out what's towns under 1,000 people in Alaska. That should be, let's see what comes up. Okay. All right, Alaska has, all right, let's see, I'm trying to get something that you can actually look up. Oh, man. Okay. Let's see. Let's get under. All right. Cantwell, Alaska. Cantwell, Alaska. And Alaska's got a bunch of towns that have got 500 people or less. Let's say Cantwell, Alaska's got 219 people. Go to someplace like Cantwell, Alaska. I mean, if you want Alabama or Florida, they got small towns in all 50 states. But Cantwell, Alaska, for this example, 219 people. Go to that place, get you some land. Now, let's say you want to manufacture shoes. Okay, so you go up there, because you can't do this as a lone wolf now. The mayor of Cantwell will open you with open arms. Y'all can probably even go fishing together. Meets with open arms, and let's say you're going to manufacture shoes. Now, that's the end product. And let's say you take, let's break this down. You got one person, their business is making shoelaces. That's their business. And they make shoelaces for your shoes. The next person does the leather. You know, they cut out the leather and this, that, other. The third person, shoe design. All right. The interior of a shoe. You got another person, that's all they make is that. And then the fifth person is the retailer. Now, let's add one more other person in there. The sixth person that has a business that's all connected to one shoe is the person that has a company. They assemble the parts of the shoe. They take the inside of the shoe that's coming from one company, the shoelaces, the leather, they put it all, they assemble it. And they have, so that's six people, including the person who has a retail store. Now, they're not going to make a whole lot of, and each one of those businesses is hiring one or two people out of that 219 people that live in that town. You're liked in that town. The six of you start a chamber of commerce in what's the town's name? Cantwell, Alaska. And you're not going to rely on Cantwell because, you know what? You're selling to other towns, other people who sell shoes. And you know what? A seventh person just opened up a business in Cantwell that's related to the sixth. A person that is opening up a school for people who want to learn how to make shoes. Leather shoes, tennis shoes, sports, whatever you want to call it. So now you've got seven and eight. You got seven businesses in that town, and they're picking up clientele all throughout the state of Alaska. That's essentially how Go, Walmart, anybody, go to a small place that's sustainable and where the powers will be will allow you to prosper. Okay. And like you don't need a whole lot. Like the example I just gave, you got eight people, eight different businesses, but they're all related to one product, a shoe. Matter of fact, there's another business that I need to throw in there. Somebody that can sew those shoes together. We know that's part of the assembly part. So what you got to get to making something, and that's what Gull did. As you heard, he started with 10 elderly people. You're not going to go to Harvard and get your MBAs. You're going to get the local people that, you know, need some type of a business. Oh, excuse me, employment. And that's a simplified, sanitized version of what we're doing, but the Foxconn And there are other companies similar to Foxconn, but Foxconn is the largest manufacturer, at least private manufacturer, in that part of the world, and one of the largest employers in the world. And he started off with humble beginnings. So, and as we stated on podcasts in the past, about what, 85% of the jobs that are going to exist in 2030 haven't even been invented yet. Food for thought. So whatever wild or little silly idea that you have right now, it can happen. On that note, we're going to end it for the day. Read up on Terry Go and the Foxconn Blueprint.
At Jiffy Lube, we care about cars. In fact, we're kind of obsessed. That's why we've been taking care of business with quick quality oil changes and service for over 40 years. And with things like our Carful Vehicle Review, where our experts will check, fill, clean, and inspect your vehicle, you'll know we'll care for your car like we care for our own. Jiffy Lube. Car more.
Visit JiffyLubeDC.com to find a Jiffy Lube service center near you.